Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Science of Kabbalah with your hosts, Rabbi Yitzhak Michelson and William Hall, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Science of Kabbalah here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. This is Rabbi Yitzhak.
And this is William Hall. How are you today?
I'm cold.
Yeah. I don't want to rub this in, but we're going to be hitting 72 degrees today.
Okay, well, it's cold and wet. We're getting our first major, major rainstorm. Rainy season starts around December here, and we're getting sort of intense rain yesterday. Rained this morning when I went out, and then we got a little bit of sun this afternoon, and now it's raining again, and supposed to be 100%, probably going to rain all day tomorrow. So,
I hear you. Speaking of cold, so it sounds like we're going to be talking about a little fire today, fire and water.
Yeah, so if I had to title the show, it would probably be, and it's really based on the fact that several weeks ago we started talking about this concept of Achdut, this concept of unity, and how there's so much going on in the world. There seems to be so much division and so much craziness in politics and with the vaccine, and should you take it, shouldn't you take, and people are at each other's throats, and there just doesn't seem to be a way to disagree and then still come together. Where when I grew up years ago, it was easy. There were a lot of disagreements, and people didn't share the same ideas about politics or whatever, but we could always come together after that. So that's really what we're going to be talking about. And we have a special guest today. And this whole idea of fire and water, really, if I had to title it, as I was saying, it would be when fire and water collide, because there's amazing Zohar in Parshat Vayera, which we just read over Shabbat. There's two sections of the Zohar that are very interesting that talk about the elements used in creation of man. And then it talks about the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Ha. And it goes into this concept that we've been talking about a few weeks ago, this idea of the unity of opposites and the idea that there are different things within us that have to be worked on, that it's great to cry out for unity and to want to be able to do that, but first we have to kind of bring unity in within ourselves. And then once we do that, then I believe we can start working on bringing Achdut to the world. So we have a special guest when we come back here just after a short break here on the Science of Kabbalah on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Israel is located in one of the most volatile areas in the world. Israel is an island of stability in a sea of war and unrest. In the midst of this turmoil, Israel stands out as a beacon of order and human progress. Each week we update you on what's happening in this, the Jewish state, a true light unto the nations. This is Jay Shapiro. Join me every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Science of Kabbalah with Rabbi Yitzhak Michelson and William Hall here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Science of Kabbalah here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. This is Rabbi Yitzhak along with my amazing co-host and friend on the other side of the ocean, William Hall.
Yes. Welcome, everybody.
And we talked about having a special guest. We've been trying to get him back on. We had some technical issues, but thank God he's here today. And really, I just want to preface it by the fact that, you know, I was walking down the street one day. It was actually Shabbat afternoon. Leah and I were taking a walk. And I hear somebody call my name, and I turn around. And it's my dear friend, Rabbi Amichai Cohen. And we started chatting just about Torah and things like that. And it turns out that he and I were actually thinking about some of the same things. And then we talked about this on the show 2 weeks ago, the idea of the unity of opposites. So Rabbi Cohen is a Torah scholar, a mentor, a teacher, and he's also based here in this holy city of Tzat, obviously. That's how we met on the street. He's the founder of Live Kabbalah School, an online community where people come together to learn and apply the wisdom of Kabbalah with the goal of bringing positive connection to the world, something that we're all about, obviously, here on this show. He was born in Yerushalayim, but grew up in the U.S. and holds a master's degree in special education, where he has 15 years of experience in the field as a teacher and a principal and founder of a school. He's taught thousands of students from around the world, both online and in person. He's facilitated workshops for Taglit, the different birthright groups that come, and visitors to Tzfat, as well as teaching in various yeshivot and seminary institutions. Welcome, my dear friend, Rabbi Amichai Cohen.
Welcome.
Hey, how are you guys? It's great to be back on.
Good. Awesome. So we were talking sort of off the air before we got on to do the show. And so kind of, you know, the premise. So you and I met briefly that day, and we just happened to be talking about this concept of, you know, Achdut, and how there really is a desire, and people have a great desire to see this happen. And yet at the same time, we're seeing just the opposite happening. And the great concern that I've had over the last several months is that it's not just that we're seeing it sort of in the worldly sense, but even within the Jewish community, even within the observant Jewish community, we're seeing people kind of going back and forth and disputing over politics, both in the U.S., disputing over politics here in Israel, disputing over COVID and vaccinations. And it just seems like we're getting further and further apart rather than closer and closer together. And so we wanted to have you on and get your take on it. So what do you have to say?
Well, first of all, being a Cohen, that's my, you know, the last name, but not everyone that has the last name Cohen necessarily is a Cohen,
right?
Which is the priestly tribe that descends from directly from the lineage of Aaron, the high priest. And Aaron, the high priest, is known as instilling peace. He's called a man of peace, a lover of peace, and one that brought together opposites, brought together two feuding individuals and try to make peace. So this is something which is deeply ingrained, I think, in the DNA of every Cohen.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly echo exactly what you're saying and the sentiments that you have about what's going on in the world. It's deeply troubling and hurtful to just see how we are seemingly declining, and there's no end in sight. What's going on in the United States is deeply troubling for all of us, and what's going on here in Israel is not that much better. And everywhere in the world, it's, you know, this exact problem is resurfacing in politics and personal relationships and family feuds. And I echoed exactly what you were saying, and what is there to say about it? So mm-hmm. my initial thought is that rules of engagement, how do we engage in disagreements? Mm-hmm. I think that we've lost that sense of how to come to the same table and talk about something without taking it personally, and to make it personal, right, against the other, because that's what it seems that is what we're seeing. We're seeing arguments getting personal and getting downright dirty. And like you were mentioning, you know, growing up, I'm younger than you, but I still remember, Reagan and you know, a little. I mean, it kind of stopped. It started declining after him, but you know, in politics, it was just okay. You disagree, but Democrat, Republican, but at the end of the day, you know, we're one nation, you know, under God. And there was that sense of that. But now it's, I mean, that the feeling is just, we're on camps. We're on two different camps, at least.
Right.
And either you pick your camp and you're protecting your camp, and it's as if if you don't protect your camp, you know, and you don't defend it, then there's something wrong with you, then you're personally being attacked and belittled and not standing up for your personal truth. And of course there's truth in that, but at the end of the day, we've lost the sense of coming to the table and learning how to engage. So it says, you know, our sages tell us that when, and this is something exactly that Aaron did, Aaron took two individuals and he was able to mention, he was able to say, hey, you know, this other guy, he has this nice attribute and this is what he feels about you. And he said to the other guy, well, your friend over there that you hate, well, he, you know, he really has these nice qualities and he cares about you like that. And so that feeling of anger and hostility mitigated and they were able to come together on some sense. And so we don't necessarily have that Aaron around too much, which I think we should all become that Aaron, you know, Kohanim, those of us that are priests, those of us that are not, but adapting that attitude of Aaron, as the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avot, that we should all be the students of Aaron, the one who is Ohev Shalom, lover of peace, Verodev Shalom, and he chases peace. So the way to do that is to come to the table and think about there is truth, but then there's peace, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the verse says, Emet v'shalom, there's truth, and then there's peace. But and the Talmud asks, actually, how could you have truth and also have peace at the same time? Because referring to court cases, that you know, just in a court case, there has to be a truthful verdict, the decision. So there can't be peace when someone when the court decides against someone. So what is the answer to that? And the Talmud says that is called a pshara, the coming together, being able to see the virtue of someone else. And before it even needs to go to court, you resolve it sort of out of court and you mediate it. And that's really the story of mediation. And instead of going into a court case and going into a feud and needing to defend your truthful decision, there's the peaceful decision. There's peace that reigns supreme above everything else. And when we have that perspective, that truth is obviously of prime importance, but peace is even more important.
Right.
Peace is even more important. And that applies to what we call shalom bayit, the peace in the home, you know, in a husband and wife dynamic, in a family dynamic. There's the truthful opinion and perspectives of the husband and the wife and the children, and everyone's got their perspective. But then there's the peaceful perspective. There's the idea, okay, she doesn't like when I say that. Got it. It may take a couple of years or many years until that, you know, it sinks in. But then finally, you know, there's that trigger. I am not going to say that word or to say that phrase that is just going to rub her the wrong way and she is going to react and then a fight is going to ensue, etc., etc. We've all been there. We all know exactly that that snowball and is when it's really small and just stop it there. So let's think about peace as opposed to me being truthful, you know, being unabashedly truthful and very and potentially hurting the feelings of this individual because it went personal.
Right.
So the rules of engagement, I think, is what we've lost. There is no engagement, and we just can't come to the same table.
Yeah, and it's amazing that you bring that up, because as you were speaking, I was thinking about how my wife and I would often sit down with young couples that were getting ready for marriage, and one of the main things we would focus on with them was the idea of conflict resolution. We would say to them, it's not a question of if conflict is going to come, it's a question of when conflict comes, how are you going to learn how to sit down and to share? And then, of course, the thing that popped into my head again as you were speaking was the concept of Shalom Bayit. So we're actually going to have to go to a break here in a couple of seconds. But when we come back, I want to talk about the idea of kind of the fact that, you know, here we are, a nation, the Jewish people, made up of, you brought up the Kohen, you know, which comes from the tribe of Levi, and the idea that we have 12 different tribes that are basically come with these mutually exclusive sort of contradictory traits, and yet the only way they could be Knesset Yisrael is if you have all 12 together. So we're going to have to go to a short break, everybody, so stay with us here on the Science of Kabbalah. We'll be right back.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Tamar, she's sassy.
She's smart.
She's funny.
But she's also a real Jewish mother.
Hi, everybody. I'm Tamar Yonah. And yes, I can be all of those things. But at Israel News Talk Radio, I'm here to bring you the news stories and guests that you may not hear anywhere else. Join me live on air Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays for the most unique and bold talk radio in Israel.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Shalom, I'm Leah Aharoni. Join me on my show, News from the Torah. Each Sunday, we'll use the weekly Torah portion as a prism for understanding the news today. Listen to News from the Torah to gain clarity about the times we're living in and to understand your own spiritual path in the process. News from the Torah, every Sunday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Science of Kabbalah with Rabbi Yitzchak Michelson and William Hall here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the second segment of the Science of Kabbalah here with Rabbi Amichai Cohen. William had to jump off. He had another commitment. So before the break, I had brought up this idea of, you know, we were talking about how you and I are sort of on the same page, concerned about these things, and you were talking about the need for, you know, not just peace, but truth, and the idea of Shalom Bayit, and we were talking about conflict resolution. I brought up the idea that, you know, here we have you being a Kohen and from the tribe of Levi, but we have, a couple of weeks ago when we did this show, you know, we were in the parsha where Yaakov was giving the blessings to his sons, and I quoted from a commentary from Rav Soloveitchik, where he was talking about this idea that, you know, it's great that you have these people with mutually exclusive traits, but yet at the same time, it required all of them to come together to be Knesset Yisrael. And then there was another thought, and it might have been you who brought this up. I was watching a video, and maybe it was you that quoted Pituchei Chotam. Was it you?
Yes.
Okay. So it was you, definitely. So you quoted from the Pituchei Chotam from Rav Abuchatzera on the idea of Yaakov and what his name meant, you know, as it relates to unity, Yechud, Anava, Kedusha, and Bracha. So you see where I'm going. How do we do this? How do we have these 12 tribes that are Knesset Yisrael with all these contradictory traits? What are we going to do to resolve this issue?
Well, I think that the fundamental notion of the 12 tribes is, as you were mentioning, Ish kebirchato berachotam, mm-hmm. that Jacob blesses each man, literally, with his appropriate blessing. Ish kebirchato berach otam. Mm-hmm. Now, why does it say otam, all of them? Ish kebirchato berach oto. It should say, blessed him.
Right.
What's berach otam? So on literal meaning, it means that Jacob blessed each one of the tribes with their specific blessing. But on a deeper level, the Lubavitcher Rebbe brings in that explains that each tribe was blessed with their unique attribute. So Judah is the lion, and Joseph is the ox, etc. That each one of them has their specific attribute. But then it says, each one was also blessed with their brother's attribute on some minute level. Otherwise, they would not be able to connect one to the other, because a lion and an ox are at war with each other in some ways, or potentially. And each one of the tribes, if they did not have a portion of their brother within them, would not be able to unite. And this concept is actually a very profound Kabbalistic concept that is brought down, that there is what is called the world of Tohu, the world of chaos, mm-hmm. that from the perspective of the world of chaos, each one of the what is called lights, each one of these traits, midot, is so in tune with itself that it is not able to connect to any other midot. So if we have fire, that cannot connect to water, right? They're completely opposite. Mm-hmm. And in the world of tikkun, in the world of fixing, there is that notion of they're about uniting one with the other. And that's really the essence of the 12 tribes. The 12 tribes are about uniting these very, very high lights, these very this potential, because each one of the tribes was a superstar. I mean, we read in the Torah, you know, how Shimon and Levi went into Shechem and single-handedly defeated Shechem, these two of them, right? And there's Midrashim that are brought that the tribes went to war against all of these other countries that attacked them because of what they did. And in fact, it says that they were about to really wage war against all of Egypt. So each one of them was a powerhouse, and each one of them was a king, right? A superstar. Mm-hmm. So when there's that notion of, oh, it's me and it's my power, it's my strength, then how could I relate and how could they relate to someone else? And that's where this blessing of Yaakov comes in, that Yaakov in his great wisdom knew that to interconnect, to unite, because Yaakov Kabbalistically is the world of tikkun and the world of fixing, drawing down from the high lights, he's called the middle column, that draws down this light down into this world, and he's still the world of Atzilut, the world of emanation, and then the tribes are the world of Bria, the connected to the 12 constellations, and they're about the interconnection of all opposites. Hmm. And so Yaakov blessed all of the tribes to be able to unite within their specific strengths and to receive from their strength. And Mekablin de Minden, Rabbi Nachman speaks about that a lot, about this concept of Mekablin de Minden, that people should be able to look at the virtue, at the qualities of the other. Mm-hmm. So Reuven looked at Shimon and was like, you know, Shimon, you're a really great guy. Shimon was like, Reuven, you've got these amazing qualities, you know? And that is the recipe of seeing myself within the other. And there's a very powerful teaching of the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov says that we essentially are a mirror. I'm sorry, the other person is a mirror. I mean, we are a mirror to others, of course, as well. But when we see someone else and they have a sulking face, or like the Baal Shem Tov says, like, you know, a person's face could be dirty. So then that's because your face is that your eyes are looking at that person in that way. That means that inside of you, you really feel that.
Mm. Yeah. So it when you said that, it took me back to the idea of marriage again, and something that I always used to say. I would always tell people that if you really want to know what a man is like or what a husband is like, just look at the countenance of his wife, because she really is a mirror of that idea of whether or not there is that shalom bayit. And so it's interesting that you bring up this idea. Of course, we've been talking about the unity of opposites and this idea of the mirror. And in many ways, you know, we being sort of, in a small sense, the idea that we have this, Tzelem Elohim, this idea that we have a divine spark, this idea that in a sense, we're supposed to mirror the midot, the attributes of Hashem that come down in the Etz Chaim, in the Sferot, in the different attributes that we see, which in and of themselves can be described as a unity of opposites. So in looking at that, you know, I'm reminded, I want to say, when we talked about this idea of people not understanding how to come to the table anymore, I remember one day I was, when I first came to Tzfat, a funny story, to kind of tell you how things used to be, and we were walking down Rehov Yerushalayim, which is the main street, as you know, Rabbi Cohen here in Tzfat, and we wanted to get an ice cafe. It was during the summer. The ice cafe here in Israel is obviously a little bit different than the U.S., what people understand as, and the guy wasn't there. So we went and we grabbed some cups, and this guy came out and he started screaming at me in Hebrew and yelling and, you know, what do you think you're doing and how dare you and so forth. And I'm like, Slicha, you're telling the guy I'm sorry. And, you know, he serves us when we pay. About a week later, I was walking down the street. Many people know that I'm disabled, so I walk with a cane. And I was walking down the street and I stumbled and I fell. Who was the first person to come to me? Was the same guy that a week before was screaming and yelling at me, was now lifting me up, putting me up against the railing, bringing me water, saying, you know, like I said, akol beseder, and he's like, lo, 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 you know, he's making me drink, you know, drink the water, you know, taking care of me. Yeah. This is in many ways, you know, while we're seeing a big problem here, I don't see it as big in Israel. You know, we always talk about the funny story how, you know, Israelis are like cactus, you know, prickly on the outside and mushy on the inside. You kind of see things like that still go on. And I use that as an example of the way that we have to be in what you're talking about, in this idea that we can look at the other person and we can have those kind of arguments. We can be those people that maybe come to a Y, you know, we're both driving our cars and we come from this Y into a single road. And most Israelis will fight over who was there first, you know, for a half an hour. But it used to be that they could do that and then go out for a cup of coffee or go for a meal afterwards. And so that's the thing that I'm looking towards and what I feel so strongly about. So I'm very glad that you are on, you and I are on the same page about that. We have about a minute left. And so before we go to the break for the final segment, you did bring it up. You brought up the idea of fire and you brought up the idea of water. As I said, there's a couple of amazing sections in the Zohar that we just read over in Parsha Va'era in this last week's portion that we read this past Shabbat about that very concept, about the concept of fire and water, the elements that were used in the creation of man. And it also talks about our hearts in another section of the Zohar, also in Parshat Vayera, about the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Tov. And I think it really connects to this idea of the unity of opposites and the diversity and bringing that healing within ourselves in order to bring about Achdut. So that's what I'd like to talk about when we come back. We have to go to a short break, everybody. But please stay with us. We'll be right back after a short break here on the Science of Kabbalah on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
In a time where feelings have become fact, where rational thought and common sense has disappeared, one man stands above it all.
I'm Howie Sobiker, your political hitman.
Political Hitman airs every Tuesday at 11:59 p.m. North American time, 7 a.m. Israeli time. Only on Israel News Talk Radio.
Are you interested in transforming your life, drawing closer to the Creator, and uncovering the deeper meanings and hidden treasures in the Hebrew Bible?
Then join me, Rav Yitzhak Michelson.
And me, William Hall.
On the Science of Kabbalah, where we are seeking to narrow the gap between what we understand of our physical and spiritual worlds. So make sure to tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Well,
Welcome back to Science of Kabbalah with Rabbi Yitzchak Michelson and William Hall here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the final segment here on the Science of Kabbalah. I'm here with my good friend, Rabbi Amichai Cohen. Before the break, we were talking about all these things, the unity of opposites and so forth, but I brought up these two sections in the Zohar that I think are really significant as, you know, what we're talking about, that, of course, you're very familiar with, related to the opposites of fire and water as it relates to the creation of man, and then this idea of the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Tov dwelling within our hearts, sort of in that tension and the opposites that we see, which is not unusual in the Kabbalah, because we have the right side of Chesed, we have the left side of Gevurah, and as you said, we have the center column, which sort of acts as that buffer between the two. So I'm going to throw it over to you. Based on that, maybe you can tie this all together with us and bring us to a place where, you know, maybe even give us some kind of exercise that we can do, some kind of meditation that we can do to try and bring that connection in ourselves, so that then when we go out to the street, when we're having these disputes, when we're having this division, we can work on both the peace and the truth that you're talking about.
Mm. Yeah. So Rabbi Shimon in the Zohar over there mentions, says that the way the world was created, God created the world that in the north, it is cold. We've got the North Pole, right? And then we've got the South, and the South, it's hot. But what is interesting is that in the North is called, Kabbalistically, it's called Gvura. It comes from this aspect of strength and intensity. So really, there should be, it shouldn't be cold, it should be hot in the North, because from that dynamic, from that characteristic trait, from that sphira, there's intensity. Gvura is fire. So, and when you go to the south is chesed, is kindness, and kindness is represented by water, which is cold, which is flowing. And so the Zohar asks, Rabbi Shimon asks, like, what's going on over here, you know? And he actually goes on to talking about the east and the west as well, that the east represents tiferet, which is harmony, and the west represents malchut, which is kingship, and so within the world, the four parts of the world, that we have the essence of the sfirot that are prevalent within the world. So before we just understand this a little bit deeper, it's important to note that King Solomon says, "Et ha'olam natan bekirbam," that the world is really found within us. And when the Zohar is teaching this, it's not just giving us a science lesson or abstract Kabbalistic concept. The way Kabbalah is meant to be learned is it's meant to be applied to us in our lives. And when Rabbi Shimon says that that within the world we've got opposites. So within us we have opposites. Within our own inner world we've got the east, we've got the south, and we've got the north. Within the south part of ourselves we've got this heat, we've got this intensity that is usually found in the north. But that is nevertheless the place of water. It's the place of calm. So within the intense, within the heat, there's an ingrained mechanism of a way to, in a sense, heal ourselves from within. And in the north, we've got this cold. It's a cold region, but yet Gevura is really heat. It's really it's intensity. And so within the cold part of the world and ourselves, essentially, we've got a way to combat that by turning on the heat. And so just thinking about that more internally, you know, if we introspect and just go a little deeper within, you know, our own makeup, when we talk about coldness, so there's apathy. There's that aspect of apathy that we have that, you know, I just don't care. I just don't care about what's going on. I don't care about this person. There's a lot of apathy, right? And coldness. And that's this aspect of Gvura. But within that apathy, we have a choice that really deep down on a deeper level, we do care. We really do love that person. And that's why Yitzchak is Gevura, but Yitzchak is the most intense level of love, really. And deep down, we really do care about our friend. Deep down, we really do care about life. We do care about our potential and about Hashem and about what we could be, etc. Deep down, if we could tap into that fire aspect. So there's that external part of ourselves. There's that coldness, that gvura, that north pole within ourselves that we're like, oh, you know. But then deep down, there's that heat. And that deep down, if we look a little deeper down beyond the surface, there's so much that we could achieve. And the same applies to the south pole of the world and ourselves, that we've got this chesed element that's just giving and flowing and craving good things, right, essentially. And we know that chesed unrestricted could lead to very dangerous places, because chesed, kindness, is to be extra kind to myself in how many servings of ice cream I have and how much I embark in unhealthy behaviors and attitudes as well. So that's a negative level of chesed if it's not worked on itself, if from within. And what's the internal way of working on itself? That there's water within, because chesed is really that sense of calm. There's chesed going to negative behaviors, but then the water and the coldness of the water then is that discipline. It's that discipline part of ourselves that we need to embrace, that I can't just go and do whatever I want and say whatever I want, think whatever I want, look at whatever I want. I've got to enforce that gevura part of myself, water that, you know, that cold part, to really restrict that sense of heat that may go to negative places. And I think that this is such a powerful idea in terms of looking at ourselves as a micro world. Because when we look at, when we see the world outside of ourselves, it's really the world that's going on inside of ourselves. I mean, and that's, I think, the scariest thing for people. I know that it is for myself, because I look outside of myself. I'm like, whoa, that means that this is going on inside of myself. It's a responsibility for me to fix something within me, to go to the next level, to fix something a little deeper, digging deeper to that level of peace within myself. And when we do that avoda, it's called in Hebrew, when we do that inner avoda within ourselves, then in a sense we are fixing the world. And we can't underestimate our own personal avoda, you know, and that's another thing King Solomon said in Great Wisdom. Person should say b'shvil nivra olam. The Talmud says that, but King Solomon came to a craftsman and he wanted a ring made for him, and this craftsman came up with a ring that says anochi afar ve'efer and b'shvil nivra olam, that the whole world was created for me, mm-hmm. and I am nothing. So the truth is, if I think that I'm all something, that I'm so great, and then my ego boost, so then I get into arguments with everyone else. But if I know that I'm like, who am I? Like, who are we really? We're a speck of dust. But yet Hashem invested so much into us and into our creation and expects so much from us. And we have to think about this, that the world was really created for me, b'shvili nivra olam. Mm-hmm. And that's something amazing. That's something great. It's not something that's meant to fan our egos. Oh, I'm the reason of creation. No. But if there's something that's going on in creation outside of myself, it means that it's going inside of myself. I know something that really helps me is to meditate on these various parts of myself. Just need to be more and more refined and just more and more just at peace with each other and not intense. The gvura doesn't have to be the one that's taken over and that's it. You know, it's just, it's intensity, right? It could also be, you know, it could also flow, and it could be, there could be that blending. You know, I also am involved in making some wine, and that's, wine is a great analogy because you've got some wines that you just can't blend. You know, I had a blend this past week, and it was just not a good blend. I was like, what's going on? And other wines you could take, you could just blend them, and they're just delicious. They complement each other, and something greater than the two happens. It's called Inver Geffen. There's the grapes of these and the grapes of the Cabernet and the and you've got the Petit Verdot and Merlot, and you've got Cabernet Franc, and you put them together, you've got a beautiful Bordeaux blend. And same thing applies to our own inner world. We've got our different grapes going on. You know, when you think about it, that we're like winemakers. We're our own winemakers that are blending, that need to come to a nice little blend. And what we're seeing outside of ourselves is really a lot of what we call Beaujolais, like this young wine, intense grape, when it's just, you know, fermenting. You try to drink that wine, it's going to hurt.
Right.
You needed to season, you needed to calm down, you needed to just, and then there could be peace.
Awesome. This is Rabbi Amichai Cohen. You can find him on livekabbalah.com.
We're actually offering a brand new course now called Doorway into the Subconscious. And we're going to be going into a lot of these triggers that people are feeling and how we could shift them and shift our perception of them. Because at the end of the day, it's our perception. Again, what's going on in our inner world to that and why we react and are triggered so much. So it's going to be a very fascinating delving into the subconscious.
Awesome. I want to thank you, my friend. And I just want to encourage everybody to stay with us each week here on the Science of Kabbalah at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Shalom.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candle lighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
Howdy, this is Rita from League City, Texas, now living in Israel. And though my heart may have belonged to Texas, it now belongs to Israel and all the fantastic show hosts at Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Solomon from Kiryat Arba, Israel. And why do I love listening to Israel News Talk Radio? Because I love listening to the interesting interviews they do and their news reporting that most other media sources don't cover.
Hey, this is Nicole Eko from Malmo, Sweden. It gets pretty cold here in Sweden, so I love cuddling up with a warm cup of tea while I listen to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Frank Karras from Tennessee. Me and my dog Buster really love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.